Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of, I've got so many pages here turned. Tonight we'll be in Romans chapter number 6, but I want to give you some thoughts beforehand and leading up to some other things even next Wednesday night. For those of you that were here last Wednesday, we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and used verses 1 through 21. And we talked about and gave message on the thought of some motivations for the child of God, what motivates us to serve the Lord. And went through some four or five different things there that should be a motivation for each of us as a believer. I'm going to ask you if anybody remembers any of those four or five things. Don't feel too bad, because if I didn't have my notes in front of me, I might not either. All right, the love of Christ constrains us, and that was the very first one, and how that constrains us or puts us in a strait where that we desire to serve and to be a willing vessel for the work of the Lord. Does anybody else think of any other ones? That wasn't one of them. That's okay, but that wasn't something wrong. That's right. Talking about my sermon last Wednesday now. What about condition of the lost? Brother Bradley probably got them notes right in front of him. I know Brother Bradley, he takes good notes. Condition of the lost, those people around us that are lost, that need Jesus Christ as our Savior, should motivate us to work for the Lord, to serve Him, and to honor Him. The next one was just the cross of Jesus Christ. I'll take it away from Brother Bradley. I'll give you that one. The cross of the Lord motivates us, and we just sang about that old rugged cross that is an emblem of suffering and shame that the Lord suffered upon Calvary's tree that we might have life. And so therefore that cross motivates us to serve Him. What was the last thing? This one ought to be easy to remember. Heaven before us, all right? The closing of our life. Our life coming down to an end, and heaven should motivate us to serve the Lord Jesus and to work for Him. And I made mention, as we read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that one day we would all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and that we would certainly build upon what the Lord has given to us. And I mentioned some crowns that are mentioned in the Scripture, and we're going to try to deal with that next Wednesday night. But tonight I'm going to continue to build upon this thought of serving the Lord or being conformed unto Him. And tonight we will be in the book of Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, and we'll be looking at a lot of these different verses. And just as there was four things last Wednesday that motivates us, there's some things tonight. There's four words, I think, found in these verses tonight that will motivate us to Christian joy, that will give us a joy of our heart, because one day we are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we read last week, we're going to give an account unto Him for everything done in our body. The Bible talks about rewards that we will gain or suffer loss of rewards in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll deal with more of this next week. Tells us that we can build upon the foundation that the Lord's given to us. We can build upon it, and it uses these types of things that are lasting and those other things that are deteriorating. The Scripture says we can build upon the foundation gold, silver, or precious stone, or we can build upon the foundation that the Lord gives us, wood, hay, and stubble. And there's a great difference between those two and those rewards that God has for us, and He identifies some of those things in the Scripture, and we'll deal with that more next week. But tonight, I want us to begin reading in chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 14, and we'll make mention of some things in the first part of the chapter. But let's read verse 14 on down through the last verse of this chapter, Romans chapter number 6. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And then there's two words there that Paul uses, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit hath ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And verse number 23, a verse that we know and quote so many times, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul writes to these Roman believers and he tells them that sin is very prevalent. And so tonight we're going to deal with this thing of joy and serving the Lord and being able to honor him with the life that he has given to us and to have the joy of the Lord flowing in our hearts. These verses that I read tonight, you'll notice there's a predominant word there. It's the word servant. We are either a servant of sin and to sin, or we're a servant unto the Lord. There's no in-between ground. And so this thing of serving God's very, very important. And serving the Lord will bring us to a point of having real joy and victory in our life. I'm afraid for the most part, there's many, many Christians today that are striving for victory, and they're struggling for victory, and they really do not know how to have victory in Jesus. We have that song in our songbook that we sing a number of times. I've heard an old story how it came from glory, and we sing about victory in Jesus Christ. But so many people struggle with personal victory and being a servant of the Lord Jesus in our daily walk with God. And so last week we dealt with what should motivate us, and tonight I want to deal with what will help us to have joy and to have victory, so when we come to the end of our life, that there will be some joy there and not have to live a life of regret and sorrow, but that we can be joyous in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing about our flesh. Our flesh does not want us to serve God. Doesn't matter how long we've been saved. It doesn't matter how much we think we are a spiritual individual. This flesh, this body of clay that we have, that we call our body, that God's given us to tabernacle in this life, this old flesh is not saved yet. It's going to be one day. But right now we deal with and struggle with that on a daily basis. Do I do this or do I not do this? We strive. Paul said it was a battle daily. He said, I have to die daily to myself in order to have the blessings of the Lord. And so our flesh always wants to do something that's not honoring unto God. The flesh always wants to be able to say, look what I have accomplished, how that I have done something in order to obtain the blessings of the Lord. But salvation commences with grace. Thank God we are saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And we are his workmanship. And so our salvation starts out with the grace of God. That favor that comes to us that we do not deserve. We are not able to obtain it by personal habits. But salvation is a gift of the Lord. Salvation continues through grace. I'm glad tonight that I'm continually being saved. and continually God's working on us. And Brother George said, while I go, the Holy Spirit, He guides us, He directs us, He helps us in order to continue on in our work and our walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we start by grace, we continue by grace, and one day we'll end up in heaven because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation will consummate in His eternal likeness when we will be just like Him, and we'll be there forever in the heavens above. But tonight in these verses, and some of these first verses I did not read, there are some words here that I think will help us to have Christian victory, or to have joy in our heart, to get us to the point of where we can obtain the blessings of the Lord. As I read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're building on a foundation. If we are saved tonight, there is a great foundation under us, and that foundation is none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. For no other foundation can man lay that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And so He is our foundation. The foundation of a building is the most important part of a building. If the foundation is not right, if the foundation is not true, then you're going to have problems all the way through until the building falls down or you have to redo it or replace it. We have foundations in our homes. We have foundation in our church buildings. We have foundations everywhere. And foundation must be true or the building will not be as it should be. There are some hidden problems, and I've mentioned this other times. There are some hidden problems in this building because the foundation is not exactly what it should have been when we built this back in 1985 and 86. And so we have to deal with it continually. And so the foundation is important. The foundation in our buildings materially is very important, but the foundation of our life is far greater, far more important than anything this world has, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And we build upon Him. And as I read there in 1 Corinthians 3, we build upon that foundation some good things, or we can build upon it on some weak things, some strong things, or some very weak items that we can build upon. Some will endure the test, some will not endure the test, and that's the judgment seat of Christ, and that's when we stand before the Lord. And so to have a joy when we leave this world, that we are ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I'm ready in salvation. I'm glad I'm ready that I know that when I leave here that I know where I'm going. I know that I'm a child of God. And I have no doubt about that. And so that foundation was laid in my life some years ago. And I've been building on that foundation all these years that God has given me and has given you also. But to have Christian joy, to have victory. Too many Christians are just going from point A to point B, and there's really no meaning in their life. There's really no joy in their soul. There's no vibrance in their service to the Lord. And I want us to look at four words tonight that I think will help us to have this joy or to have this victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first word I want us to look at is the word know, K-N-O-W. You'll notice it in verse number 3. We did not read it, but we will read it now. And we'll read the other verses that you'll find this word or form of it here in chapter number 6. Verse number 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death?" Look at verse number 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Verse number 9, we look at it. Verse 9 says, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him." Verse number 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether unto sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness." These verses, verse 3, 6, 9, and 16, use that word or form of the word know or knowing. There are some things we need to know in our personal life. I'm glad tonight I can tell you and I can assure you that I know that I'm born again. And if you've had that experience with the Lord Jesus, if you've trusted Christ, you can have that knowledge in your heart. The Bible tells us in the book of Peter that these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. And so there's some things that we can know. Now, a lot of people want to they want to know their feelings. Well, feelings are good, and you can trust them sometimes, but sometimes feelings fluctuate. Sometimes feelings are emotions, and emotions either are up or down or in between. And if we live on emotions, if we live on feeling, then our joy and our victory will be up and down. One day we'll be feeling well and good because everything's going good. The next day it may not be going so well, and we're not for sure that we're even going to make it through the day. And so we're in a fluctuating issue of life when we just depend upon our feelings. You can trust your friends to a certain extent, to a certain point, but friends will fail you. If I was to go around the building tonight, I guarantee you that all of us would have somebody that's in our past that have been friends and they in some way have failed us. They have not lived up to what we thought they should, or somehow we've been disappointed in them. And so feelings and friends, they're good, but they not what we build our life on. It's not what we build all the joy and the Christian victory that we have. We don't build it upon that. We can trust facts, but sometimes facts do not give us all the total summation of everything. We must know what has died. As a believer tonight, as a Christian, verse number 6 tells us, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. When Paul talks about the old man, he talks about that nature that all of us have, that old nature before we knew Christ. It's that nature we live with. It's that one that's with us continually. And he tells us here that we must know that our old man is crucified with the Lord. It has died. That old man, that old nature is no longer the predominant figure in our life. He has been crucified. He is no longer that preeminent one in the affairs of our life. And so we need to know what Christ did for us when we got saved. He crucified our flesh, that old man. And old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so the old man, that old nature, has been crucified. When did that happen? Well, literally, I think it happened when Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. The old song years ago said, I was on his mind when he was on the cross. And that's true. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he died for every individual, every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl. He died for them. And so therefore, when he was crucified in my personal life, when I trusted him, I realized what happened that day when Jesus let himself be crucified. Why did he do that? That the body of sin might be destroyed. Verse number 6 and verse number 7. It's important tonight to know some things for sure. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know Jesus is coming again. I know between this point of where I'm living and when he's coming, I know some things that are going to take place in my life that's going to be good and glorious. But I also know there are some things that's going to be trials and testings and temptations that come. And so therefore, the joy that I have is not on how I feel. I get up sometimes, I don't feel so good. Sometimes I go to bed at night, I don't feel as good as I wish I did. And you can identify with that. You have the same problems as I do. And so our feelings don't make us happy or sad. That doesn't make us be a vibrant Christian. But our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what will make us what we should be. So our feelings fluctuate. Other day, I didn't feel so very well at all, and I just wasn't in good shape. And that comes to all of us. But still, my service to the Lord is not affected by that, because I know that he is my Savior. I know that he is the one that has given himself for me, that I might live and have Christ living in me and going and telling people about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my feelings are not so determined that it dictates everything that goes on in my life. Friends and family and all the things that we look at, it affects us, but it should not affect our victory in Jesus. I'm glad tonight I have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. For on Calvary, he put to death the old man, the old sinful nature, that we could have life eternal. He died for us. He died on the cross of Calvary. And he did that, that this body of flesh may be of sin might be destroyed, and that we not serve sin any longer. Verse 16, as we read, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. We yield to the sin, then we're the servant to sin. All right, that's the first word, to know. I hope tonight everyone in here can say, I know some things for sure. I hope you can be arrested in your heart and be assured in your life that you know that if you used to take that last breath, that you'll end up and you'll be in the glory. Sunday morning, Miss Mary was here. She had no idea. We had no idea that the next day she'd be in eternity. We didn't have any idea. I mean, she looked like she always did. She acted like she felt pretty much like she did. I noticed she looked and acted a little bit tireder than normal. I almost had somebody go make sure she was okay because she had her head bowed. But you don't think of things like that. Here every Sunday, serving the Lord, and a good testimony of being a child of the King, and the next moment she's gone. You get the phone call, it just sort of takes you off track for a moment. But I tell you, that's why we better know that we know him. That's why we better know that everything is well between us and our God, because we have no hope, we have no promise of getting up in the morning. We have no promise of even making it to bed tonight. We could leave this world immediately, and there better be some things we know. And of course, that is none other than Jesus Christ. There's another word that is used, and it's used only one time, but I believe it's very important. It's found in verse number 11. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That word I want to look at in there is the word reckon. When you reckon something, it means you count it. It is to calculate. I'm glad tonight that I can look at the scriptures, I can look at our lives, and we can reckon that we have died to the old way of life. That means we can put it on an accountant sheet that God has given us eternity and has given us life. The word reckon means to count or to calculate. My flesh lives and it wants to sin, and I better reckon with that. I better deal with that. I better apply that to my heart and my life, because if I don't, then somewhere down the line it's going to get the victory, and I'll not have victory in Jesus Christ. I'll not have the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know all of us understand that because we've all been there. We all sin. We all fall short, and the wages of sin is death. But thank God the gift of the Lord is Jesus Christ. And we can say, and religion tells us that just crucify the flesh and it'll be all right. And just do it in your own means and own ways. And that's an impossibility. The scripture says, reckon ye also yourselves dead indeed unto sin. Count yourself as not affected by the affairs of this world. Everything we see affects us. Everything that comes around us has an influence upon us. But we need to count ourselves and reckon ourselves that will not influence us to be happy or to be sad in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are dead indeed unto sin, and we need to be reckoned alive unto God. In Christ's death, I have a payment for my sins. Praise the Lord. When he died on Calvary, he paid the sin debt. Paid in full. I'm not on parole. Thank God the Lord saved me. And he paid my sin debt in its entirety. My past, my today sins, and my tomorrow sins are all under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to reckon that. We need to count that as true. that the Lord has forgiven us of our sins, that He has that God has removed them from His thoughts, and they have been placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I realize that my sins have been paid for. When Jesus Christ was buried, He put my sins away. He put them far away as the east is from the west. And when He had resurrection, therefore it has no more power over us. Thank God today we are living on victory side. The victorious side of the gospel is that we have died unto self, died unto sin, trusted Jesus Christ. He has forgiven our sins, and He has established a going for us that we can walk. He has established a foundation for us on which we can build. And we build that house, that habitation that God gives to us. And therefore, I can reckon myself, I can account it to me that I am a child of God. And so therefore, whatever comes my way, I can still have joy. Whatever sadness comes, I can still have joy in my life. How many times I have said, the child of God is the only person that can have tears rolling down their cheek and have a joy in their heart that's unspeakable and full of glory. That comes only from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul tells these Roman believers, he said, you better count that, you better reckon that as true, as dead unto sin, but alive unto Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus. That's how we have joy, to realize what we have in Christ. The third word I want us to look at tonight in these verses, found in verse number 13, verse number 16, verse number 19. We've already read 16 and 19. And let's look at verse 13. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye. Verse number 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of the flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and into iniquity unto iniquity. The word here, I'm sure you picked it out, is the word yield. Just yield unto the Lord. We come to certain places in our road system, and it'll have a sign there that says yield. That means if there's somebody else there, you move over and let them have the right of way. And if you're in the yield place and you don't yield, you may get hit because the other person doesn't have the yield. But here the Lord tells us in these three verses that we are to yield ourselves. Verse number 13 is a tremendous verse. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. What are the members that He is talking about here? He's talking about our flesh, your members, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, your body. He says, do not yield those members over to unrighteousness unto sin. But on the other side of that, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. There's opposites there. Unrighteousness, righteousness. Ungodliness, godliness. Yielding your members. How we live our day-to-day life, how we live from morning we get up to the night we go to bed, a lot of that will determine how much joy we have in the Lord. If we yield our members to unrighteousness, then we're not going to be too happy. We're not going to have a whole lot of joy because we're sinning against God. But if we yield our members over to Him, then He blesses us, He helps us, He gives us a peace in our heart. But we have to be the one willing to yield ourselves unto Him, to give over to the persuasion of the Lord, just to move over, get out of the way, let God have His way in our life. So we are to know some things, we're to reckon some things, we are to yield ourselves instruments of righteousness, good things, to have happiness. And when we come to the end of life, then we can have the real joy of the Lord. Now, the last word is very close to the word yield. Because if you yield, then you will do this other word. It's found in verse 12 on the opposite. It says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." The word is obey. We see it in verse number 12, verse number 16, and down through there, the word obey. Verse 12 says, "Do not obey the flesh." Don't obey the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the things that the devil puts before us. When we do, not if we do, but when we do, then we're not going to have the real joy that God has for us in this part of our life. It's, to obey just simply means to do what God wants us to do. That's very simple. Obey means to do what God tells us to do. Where does He tell us? In His Word. Certain things in His Scripture. When we raise our children, we ask them to obey. We want them to obey us. We have a song again in our songbook, "Trust and Obey." For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When Brother Mike Decker was here as associate pastor, that was his favorite song. I guess it's still his favorite song, "Trust and Obey." And the only way that we can be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ is to trust Him. That's that yielding part. And then to obey what He tells us to do. The Bible tells us over in the book of Philippians. I know I have Philippians in my Bible. Okay, Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. Should have quoted it. It had been easier than to find it. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me." The verse there doesn't say I can do some things. I can do all things. Whatever Christ leads us to do, we can do it. Whatever the job is, whatever the task is, we can do that if we yield our members as instruments of righteousness. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me." How am I going to build on that foundation in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? How am I going to build upon the foundational stone that is the Lord Jesus Christ? How am I going to have joy in my life? How am I going to have peace in my soul? How am I going to have happiness in my flesh? It's just simply by trusting Him, yielding over to Him, obeying Him, and doing whatever He tells us to do. If we obey, we will do what He says to do. 4 key words in Christian joy. I think they're found right here in Romans chapter 6. No, I'm glad I know some things. Reckon, and that's not a country word like we say it, "I reckon I'll do it." But Paul says, "Reckon these things, count it, make sure. Reckon these things into our life. Know that we have a new life, that our sins have been forgiven. Yield over to the influence of the Holy Spirit. Yield over to the Word of God, and then just obey what He tells us to do. And if we'll do that, we'll have joy in our life. We'll have peace in our daily activities, and we'll have victory. Is every day victorious? I wish it was, but it's not. But it can have victory in our life. When we look at our whole life, we can say, "I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I've counted it. I've calculated it. I know it's real. I've yielded over to the Lord. I obey Him. I trust Him." And when we leave this world, we can leave a testimony behind us that we believe God. And then we stand before the Lord, and then we give an account. And we'll deal with that some next Wednesday night as we take these 3 sermons and just talk about serving and joy and receiving the rewards that God has for us. So I pray the Lord help us, and I may quiz you next week. So, Brother Bradley, if you got good notes, we'll ask you again. Somebody else maybe I can write those things down, remember them next Wednesday of what we did last week and this week, and then look next week at some things about the rewards that God has for us. And he desires, he wants us to have great rewards, and we can do that through his name. Let's stand together tonight and do remember the prayer requests and the different things and the needs. Appreciate each one of you being in the Lord's house tonight.